Hi, this is Sarah Ballantyne, and I play the role of Mary Jane Watson. And when it comes to podcasts, Spider-Man the Animated Series is the only one for me. Face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot.
And welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me as always is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and a lighter, and all-around friendly neighborhood guy, it's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hello, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, 2023.
And happy podcast anniversary.
Yes, 5 years.
5 years we've been doing this.
Oh, the years.
I can't believe I've known you for 5 years. I can't get over it.
That's a really bad joke.
It's better than like see you next year like 11:59 on January.
Well, I am drinking my first Coca-Cola of the year. So.
Is that your first official Coca-Cola of the year?
Yes.
Wow. What an amazing, you've already achieved so much. It's January and you've done so much already. Never mind the five-year podcast. You've drank a Coke for the first time in 2023.
I've already gained my quota of weight for the year in the first 3 days.
So. Yeah, what were you just saying off pod or not before we... Yeah, we had recorded.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Nah, that's all right. Well, just move on. Just brush that under the rug. Well, happy anniversary, buddy. Doing this for 5 years is quite an achievement. And we've done a lot with this podcast and we still got more to go, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, like ending it.
Well, we got Batman as well, so it's not over for good. But yeah, I just wanted to say that like the reason I started doing this in the first place was because I've always enjoyed our chats, and you always make me laugh harder than anyone else has, and I love to have that on the record as far as being
so that when I'm dead in 2 years, you've got something to remember me by.
Yeah, if you make it to the six-year anniversary.
And I've killed myself with the soul-crushing comic book industry, and the amount of weight gain constant.
Yeah, at least I'll have plenty of episodes to look back on and listen to, this being one of them. All right, let's kick it off then with the usual question. How is the art life?
Non-existent.
Yes, well, you're taking a break. Yeah.
Yep. I'm pretty much at the tail end of my break now. I've had all of December off on purpose, just needed a break from everything. And now, I've just been catching a cold, which was great. And I've been recovering from that still, so I might choke a few times in this podcast. I apologize. You might hear me breathing much heavier than I usually do.
So that's very loud.
It's nuts. I had a cold like 2 weeks ago and it's still like around. It drives me fucking nuts. When I finally decided, I've worn a mask everywhere for the past 3 years. The fucking 1 month I decided, you know what? I'm going to put the mask down and see if I can get back to normal life. Catch cold fucking immediately.
Meanwhile, I'm out like licking signposts and I'm fine.
Yeah, signposts and people, doesn't matter.
Oh, God. Well, besides the cold, I think, obviously the last episode we did for this podcast was the Prowler episode. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Christmas presents. And I think just to link it up, so if anybody's listening to this, you know, in consecutive order and they just listened to the Prowler episode, they're going to be like, well, what did you get him for Christmas? Because
we said we were going to say what we got each other for Christmas.
Yeah. So I will say that what I got him that I had a problem with the people I bought it from and like a cracked case, etc., was I bought him a video game that we loved so much as kids, and it's Marvel Superheroes on PlayStation 1 made by Capcom. And that game we just played recently because we just hung out recently and went down memory lane and played a bunch of old school video games, that being one of them. And I fucking love that game, dude.
You're very, very good at that video game.
Well, that's besides the point of why I love it.
You are tournament level good at that fighting game.
That's right. You said that, and that stayed with me. I, like, on the drive home, I was with my girlfriend, and I was like, my brother thinks I could play in a tournament with that video game. And she looked at me like, are you seriously thinking about that? And I was like, nah, but it's good to know.
I don't think there is a tournament just for that specific game. I think the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is a more popular title.
Which I don't know for why, a tournament. It's not as good.
A lot of people like it because there is definitely more variety. I think you and I just have more nostalgia.
I hate the tag team in that game because you can tag people.
No, I like the tag team.
Do you? Oh, that. And Wolverine is not as good in that game as he is.
Is he not?
No, he's just my boy in that first one.
I like playing that one with my wife because my wife likes to play as Chun-Li and she's also kicks major ass. So I would like to see you two find each other. Her as Chun-Li, you as Wolverine. That would be quite the sight. Be a button mashing frenzy.
Is that the first game Chun-Li's in? No, it's the second game, right?
She's in Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2.
Oh, she is? Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. As long as I got my Wolverine in number one, then I'm good to go. So, yeah, that game is
great.
That
game is only worth £200, so I'll just have to pick that up because I'm rich.
Art. And then I also bought you Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Yes.
On streaming on Apple. And then I think that's what I got, right?
Yeah, that's what you got me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I got.
I got you season one of Batman Beyond streaming. And I got you a little James Bond Lego set.
I know. I'm going to build that tomorrow.
Good. And then I got you random nibbles and this, you know, stocking stuffer type stuff.
And your wife made a dope selection of food, as always.
You did, yeah.
Which was awesome, and I've had quite a bit of that. And a birthday cake that she made me that I just had a slice of that was fucking... and those bagels, baby! This is suddenly turning into like a foodie podcast. But yeah, and you also got me Batman 66.
Yeah, the season two, which is split into two parts that you have to pay for, which is fucking bullshit.
Which is really bullshit, yeah. But yeah. Thank you for that, because that's just watched some of that this morning.
Oh, good.
That's just a great show. It's really colourful. And I got these lights that coincide with what's happening in the movie. So Batman 66 is obviously super colourful.
Popping, yeah.
The Batcave is awesome with all the lights everywhere. Looks really cool. So there we go. If anybody cared, that's what we did for Christmas. Because I know that we were talking about it last episode, and I know it's been like over a month since we recorded. But just to keep it, you know, cohesive, baby. Keep it jelly. All right, so that's the art life. Not much going on. Do you have anything planned or lined up?
I've sent emails out to companies because I need a job.
Okay,
I've got bills to pay at the end of the month, so whoever says I'll hire you, then I will go to.
That works. Hopefully with DC again, because that's been going well, hasn't it?
Yep. Hopefully with DC again.
Alrighty. All right, then, if we've done with Art Life and we're done chatting about Christmas, let's do a Kingpin and Smythe, baby.
Yeah, Smythe. Oh, a bit under the weather, Smythe. Oh.
You botched another important operation, Smythe.
You will do as you are told. My name is Alistair Smythe. It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change. No!
All right, this week's Kingpin and Smythe has been written in by Dan Broker. He has said, Kingpin and Smythe head to the slopes for a bit of skiing. However, after an argument breaks out between Smythe and the Sinister Six at the local lodge, Kingpin is drafted into a skiing race to defend Smythe and uphold his honor.
All right.
That sounds like a very 80s scenario, right? Like, you know, those 80s ski, like, teen movies or whatever.
Smythe.
Yes, sir.
You know how I have the agility of a cat?
I'm well aware of it, sir, especially when late night rendezvous in the boudoir, yes.
Oh, the boudoir. I like that. Well, I don't think you actually know to full effect my agility levels. Before I got into crime, one fancied himself as a championship skier.
You, sir?
Me, sir. Smythe.
You, skiing?
like with the poles and the boots and the whole shebang.
Yes, custom made, of course, because I'm so, you know, ripped. To make custom made reinforced titanium alloy.
Would his just to paint a picture here? Would his ski jacket be white it's with a purple hood?
No, it's just a full purple jacket.
Just a full purple jacket. Okay, I guess if it's white, then he would blend in with.
But I have one of those things in the back where you know it reveals your butt cheeks, and that's white. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, a butt flap?
Yeah, a butt flap. I'm old school like that. So when you got a crap, you need a butt flap, mate.
Hey, sir, that's easy access for me, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, we should go skiing more often.
You talking about drugs or?
I'm talking about anything, baby. Let's get back in that boudoir.
Okay, so would you like to go skiing, sir? Should we hit the slopes?
Apparently we're here right now because this whole conversation has been flying there. So here we are at the ski slope.
Now, sir, I'm afraid to say I don't think I can join you on the slopes. I could hover down the slopes, but unfortunately I can't ski. And
can't you just stick some sticks on?
Stick some sticks on, sir. Is that what you just said?
People with disabilities can ski, mate.
Okay, well, I'll give it a go, but I'm a bit self-conscious, and I know the Sinister Six are here, and they always make fun of me.
For me, Smythe. I want to show you how good I am at skiing.
But the Sinister Six always make fun of me, sir. They always put fun of me.
What are they doing here? This skit's going great so far, by the way.
Well, there's Dr. Octopus over there. He's skiing with his eight legs. Scorpion's going down on his massive tail. Mysterio's doing some really cool tricks down, doing some ollies and whatever else you do on
ollies,
a slope.
Wow.
Yeah, because he's snowboarding.
He's skateboarding on the slopes. That's my, wow.
Yep, Shocker's like causing avalanches. They're just really cool, sir. They're just so cool, and they make fun of me because I can't do all of that stuff.
You know what? That's fucked up, Smythe.
That's what I'm saying,
I'm going to have a word. Excuse me, Sinister Six.
This is Dr. Octopus. Hello?
Yes, quite. Look
here, I had to introduce myself.
Look here, you. If you fucking say any fucking thing about the man who is the love of my fucking life, about any of this skiing nonsense, I will take your tentacles and shove them in your eye sockets and up your asshole.
Oh, you're a tough guy, eh, Kingpin? You think you can take me on the slopes?
Oh, baby. Don't you know it?
Oh, okay then. I don't know why.
I challenge you to a ski off.
I don't know why every time I do a Dr. Octopus, I have to do. Okay then. Challenge accepted, Kingpin. I will. This is Russian now. Apparently, I'm chameleon.
I went a bit German when I was telling just thinking of things the eye sockets.
Okay, Kingpin. Let's you and me fight it out at dawn.
All right. What we're going to do though is it's not a race. It's a big ski jump.
Ooh.
Whoever holds it the longest in the air wins. It's my secret specialty, actually.
With my tentacles, I will win this for sure. You're on.
No, you can't use tentacles.
No, it's already decided. you better hope that you know someone that...
All right, fine.
You better hope you know someone that's good with science, if you know what I mean.
If I win, you Sinister Six aren't allowed on these parts of the slope no more. And if you win, what do you want?
If we win, we want to see... Now I'm going very German. If we win, we want to see you go down the slopes, backwards, butt naked.
I'll do that as my main race.
And we all
If you win, you can have Alistair Smythe.
What?
Trust me. Trust me. I'm really good at skiing.
Sir, they make fun of me all the time. You know. Okay.
And
right.
if I win, you all have to give me your secret laboratories.
Deal. You're like, all right, here we go.
That's a pretty fucking good deal, Smythe. I'm not gonna lie. I'm really going to take him on this one.
They don't call me the Kingpin for nothing.
That's right. All right. I need you to prep me, Smythe.
What would you? What am I supposed to do?
Treat me like a big head of corn, Smythe, and butter me up.
Should we have a montage moment? There's always an 80s montage moment where, like, stuff's happening. There's a bunch of music.
Butter in between all folds and flaps.
Just Smythe's rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lift the tum, Smythe.
Dr. Octopus is doing, like, push-ups with his tentacles.
Really impressive. Well, were you going to grow electronic biceps? Fucking idiot.
All right, so the big day comes. Dawn has happened. Top of the slopes, both Kingpin and Dr. Octopus are there. The Sinister Six cheering on Dr. Octopus and Smythe with maybe a couple little secret plans that Smythe has placed in.
I'm telling you, I'm the world's best skier.
Well, sir, they're there anyway because you never know.
All right, let's do this.
All right.
Biggest jump.
So the Shocker gets up, and he's the one...
God, Smythe, why did you feed me this morning? It was like a big plate of baked beans and eggs.
You need your energy, sir.
Oh, what else was in there? Oh, it was some light see-through pink liquid. Oh.
See-through pink liquid? What are you hinting at?
Laxative.
Oh.
Sir, I think she's going to blow.
The race is starting.
Yeah, Shocker shoots a gun out of his blasters.
Oh, so, I really jiggled my belly on that one.
So Kingpin's going down the slope, and just before he hits the jump, he just goes, I can't hold it in any longer. And he has the hugest fart in the world. Propels him up the ski slope and to the biggest jump that anybody's ever seen. He's just in the air going,
just this giant, bald, fat man.
Smythe secretly gave him a concoction that would projectile him forward.
I see.
Which was a blend of eggs, baked beans, and laxatives.
So, if it wasn't for the smell, I'd hug you.
This is why I installed the flaps, for specific reasons such as this.
Oh, it came back around. I love it. So
you've won. You've done it.
Yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I guess we did, didn't we? We always win, but ha-ha, you stink, Sinister Six. Bye.
Yes, that's right. Don't show your face around these parts anymore.
And then Dr. Octopus is like, here's the keys to my laboratory.
Nah.
Oh, yes, I forgot we sent them up. Thank you.
That was a pretty good deal, Smythe.
No, Smythe, you need to wipe me up.
All right.
A little bit slipped out on the end there, Smythe.
That was Kingpin and Smythe take to the slopes. So if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a written review on whatever platform you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us wall crawl up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. Be sure to tell a friend about the pod as well, as that's the fastest way to grow a podcast. No algorithms, just plain old-fashioned word of mouth. Algorithms. Also, go follow us on social media at SpidermanTASPod everywhere. However, our Instagram account has just been deleted by Instagram, and I don't know why. Maybe some sort of copyright thing that we don't know about, but I don't claim to be the official Spider-Man, the animated series pod or anything like that. So I don't know. It got flagged and I protested it, but Instagram doesn't give a shit. So our Instagram account is deleted. I might be able to start a new one, but that's a lot of work to start it up from scratch again. So I might just say, fuck you, Instagram, and stop using them. But I don't know.
Fair enough.
So yeah, stay tuned for that. But you can find us at Spider-Man TAS Pod on Twitter and on Facebook. I might even start a TikTok just to say, fuck you, Instagram, because that's their biggest competitor.
Are they owned by the same company or no?
No. They're not owned by the same company. And on our socials, you'll find our Linktree account, which includes a tip jar where you can leave us a tip. Podcasts cost money and become even harder to monetize these days. And as we are poorer than Peter Parker himself, any amount that you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson. And you can follow Will on his socials to stay up to date what he's working on now and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and a writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson Inc. That's Robson Inc. on the interwebs.
You're goddamn right. Anything else you'd like to plug in the socials coming up with your book?
I'm going to be launching a Kickstarter on March 1st for my book Outbreaks, which is a zombie anthology comic. And you can check that out at speechcomics.com.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right, we'll do a bit of news. We only have one bit of news today. And then I've got just looking forward to 2023 and a bunch of stuff that's coming out. So I thought I'll just list a bunch of things that are coming out and we'll talk about if we're looking forward to it or if we're not.
Okay.
Most of the things I think you're going to say you're not, but that's totally okay.
I saw someone on Twitter post like my top 10 movies of 2022 and I was like, oh, I want to do that. And I looked at all the movies of 2022 and I was like, maybe one of them like made my list. I was like, wow, I didn't like any movie from this past year.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to, we usually do this. We'll look forward into this year and see what's coming out. And then we are going to hop straight into an interview that I'm very much looking forward to sharing with you guys. So my brother and I are going to review The Wedding today. That's the first episode of season 5, which I thought was really cool that it's our 5-year anniversary. And we're reviewing the episode 1 of season 5 today. So that's cool. But not only that, we've got the voice of Mary Jane, Sarah Ballantyne, and the voice of Harry Osborn, Gary Imhoff, reunited again for the first time in like 6 years on our pod, which was really great to see. Sadly, Will could not make that interview. But yeah, I'm going to put that in there so everybody can listen to Sarah and Gary talk and reunite and talk about being on the show, talk about this episode specifically. And then we'll come back and Will and I will review the episode and close it out as we always do. So the only bit of news I have, Bud, is actually of today. Did you hear what happened to Jeremy Renner?
I think I vaguely heard that he's been in some sort of terrible accident or something.
Yeah, it was. I read like a bunch of things online. I was like, "Is he dead?" Because it was just kind of like sending my prayers.
Critical condition, right?
Critical condition. Yeah. So what happened is Jeremy Renner currently is in critical but stable condition after a snow cat that he has used and shown on his Instagram a bunch of different times.
Oh, I thought you meant like a legitimate snow cat.
Oh, sorry, no, like the plow. Sorry,
it's like Hawkeye fought a fucking wild mountain cat.
Snowcat is in the plow, it's like a big four wheeler type thing. Snowcat ran over his leg and he suffered blunt trauma to his chest as well.
Oh God!
Yeah, that's a real awful accident. So what happened was his neighbors actually witnessed this accident and they ran out and they actually saved his life by applying a tourniquet to his leg because there was actually quite a lot of blood loss.
Oh my God.
And he would have died because the ambulance wouldn't have made it in time. So his neighbors, which Jeremy Renner's wife thanked profusely on Twitter, had saved his life. He's gone through 2 major surgeries already. And apparently now he's awake and he's talking and he's in stable but critical condition, which I think I've never heard it put that way
before.
Stable
but critical.
Yeah, that sounds a bit opposite to me.
He's
but that's
critically
what
stable.
Critically stable. But we wish him a speedy recovery.
Stably critical.
Stably
critical. That does not sound good.
No, it doesn't, does it?
I got some good news. He's stable. Oh, thank God for that. I also have some bad news. He's critical.
we wish him a speedy recovery and hope that there's no major permanent damage, I guess. But what an accident. And supposedly, you know, he knows what he's doing with the snow cat and he's used it a bunch of times. There was a big snowstorm on New Year's Eve and he was just using the plow to get his driveway plowed so he can get his family out the house because they were snowed in. And apparently, even though all safety measures should never have allowed this to happen, it did. And
what we like to call a freak accident.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, hope Hawkeye is okay and he recovers soon. So that is my only bit of news today because we got a lot to go through and a lot to talk about, starting with 2023 and what is coming out this year. So there is a lot of movies and TV shows. I even have quite a bit here, but I did leave a bunch out. So if anybody's like, you didn't mention this, it's because I just didn't think it was worth mentioning. But if you want to look it up and talk about it, yeah, then you can look it up yourself. First up at the top of the list, I put this because I know we're both excited and I know nothing about this, but it's The Last of Us. which is coming out very soon in a couple weeks. I think that looks great.
Yeah, I can't wait. I just think that it looks very close to the show, the vibe. I think the casting is really good. It's made by the people that made Chernobyl, which was an amazing show.
That's true. I forgot that they made that. The people that made Chernobyl is doing this.
Yep. And the clickers look great. And yeah, if it sucks, it will be pretty disheartening because it looks like whoever is producing it did what people would want it to do. You know, you look at the Resident Evil franchise. It is so poorly adapted constantly. It's become just a fucking joke at this point.
Yes.
And then, so like, why can like The Last of Us get such, you know, how do they get fucking HBO and like all this other stuff? And then Resident Evil just gets fucking chumps making this stuff. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I know nothing about the video game. And I'm very excited to learn about this world and these characters through the show. And hopefully, as you just said, hopefully they do a good job because...
Yeah, you don't even know like the big stuff in it as well.
I do not, no. So I'm looking forward to going on that ride. I've avoided spoilers and everything. So yeah.
Pedro Pascal must be having like... That dude's career is going great right now.
Well, all he does is just... He's like the father figure to some little child from like Zion or something. It's crazy.
Or for Nick Cage as well.
Yeah. He's great. So I'm looking forward to seeing in that. And speaking of Pedro Pascal, we've got The Mandalorian Season 3 coming out.
When's that?
That is February, I believe. So that's fairly soon, about a month or so. We'll have a new season of Mando. I'm
burnt out on Star Wars right now, but I know the moment that comes out, the show's always been good. I'll be like, oh, yay.
Yeah, I really hope.
I've got a few... unbuilt Star Wars Lego sets that I'm hoping Mando's going to inspire me to build.
I hope it. I've got a bit of Star Wars fatigue as well. If you liked Andor, I get it. There's lots of love for that show, but it just wasn't for me.
I sat down and I watched all of it.
You did, didn't you? Yeah, you watched it and like
I kept waiting for it to be this amazing show that everyone was talking about, and for me personally, it never was.
Yeah, I agree. It was the same for me. Too dark, too adult, and not fun, which is what I wanted.
I don't mind dark and adult. That's some of my favorite content. I just thought, it just felt like it was very surface level rebellion building. And it's like, you're building a rebellion. I've seen it. I've seen the movie.
Well, that's the thing. And people were like, this is the scariest the Empire has ever been. And I'm like, I disagreed. Have you seen Darth Vader? Yeah, like, that motherfucker is scary.
They forced people to eat fucking cereal in my Star Wars. And wear suits and ties in my Star Wars. I was like, get out of here. You're breaking like my... I'm not going to go on a rant about it. I didn't like it. There we go.
You did not like it. And you know the thing they're building in the prison that they show? Did you saw it at the end, right?
No, I didn't see what they were building at the end, but I could the whole time they were building something, I was like, they're clearly building parts of this Death Star, right?
That's exactly right, which is I thought too. And they revealed it in the post-credits.
I didn't make it that far.
Of the last episode, they're like, and the thing that they've been building, and they pan back, and then it's the Death Star being built.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay. No, yeah, no shit. And also, I was thinking, even if you didn't see that coming... You know what happens to the Death Star. So it's not like you're like, ooh, what's going to happen? You're like, they blow it up. Like, that's the end of it. So why is that a big deal? I don't know. Yeah, just not for me. So Mando Season 3 hopefully will regain my love for Star Wars because that show's always been good. I avoided articles when I was looking this up today. One article said, like, spoilers ahead, all the characters that might be in Mando Season 3. And I'm like, I don't want to know. Get out of here.
You're coming to my side of the Force.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to know that stuff. Another thing that's coming out this year is Oppenheimer, which is the new Christopher Nolan film about the making of the atom bomb.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, I saw a trailer. It looks interesting, but then it doesn't show much, and it also looks kind of boring, but then most Christopher Nolan trailers usually do.
Most Christopher Nolan movies are kind of boring, but with Christopher Nolan, it's like, it's either you're going to be bored or you're going to be, like, very entertained, or both.
Or both, yeah. There's definitely movies that have both.
You're either going to have a kip Well, you're not.
Yeah. You're either going to try and watch Tenet multiple times and fall asleep, or you're going to make it
through. And
you'll
wake up from the kip and you'll finish the movie and be like, oh, that was pretty good. Yeah. Like, I just needed that kip in the between.
Then there's a new Mission Impossible coming out this year, Dead Reckoning, where Tom Cruise is just doing the craziest things ever. He just recently did the biggest stunt in movie history, which there's a whole YouTube video on that, which was interesting. You're not interested in those movies, are you?
Nope.
Transformers Rise of the Beasts, where they're going to do the
franchise I'm definitely interested in.
They're doing the Beast Wars. You remember we had those toys like the gorilla and the cheetah and all of these other animals?
Part of Transformers. That was Beasts. That was
Beast Wars. No,
they're not animals. They were they had a different name.
No, they're Transformers, man. Those are Transformers.
No, I'm going to fight you on this one.
Transformers Beast Wars. That's what it is. It's even called.
It's what you're thinking of with the gorilla and the. It was a 3D show.
And a cheetah. Yes, and a cheetah, and it's Transformers. I just watched the trailer for it today. It's Transformers Rise of the Beast, which is showing off the Beast Wars series, the animated show that was like out in the. Is it the 90s it came out or the early
2000s? I don't think you're right.
Beast Wars is Transformers.
Yes, Beast Wars is Transformers, but you're talking about the 3D show where it was a gorilla and stuff like that.
Well, there's a gorilla in the trailer and a cheetah, and I remember having both those toys, and those are Transformers. Pretty sure, unless you're thinking of another gorilla show. Now I'm Googling too. We're both doing this now. We're both trying to face... Yeah, this is Transformers, these gorillas. Are you thinking of this toy? Thinking that?
No.
All right. Well, what are you thinking of then? Because this is now...
Is it Transformers?
Yes, it's Transformers.
I think it is.
What are you thinking of? Animorphs? Was that what you're thinking?
No, because I know Animorphs are when the people turn into...
Yeah.
I thought it was like a mix between... All right, you know what? Just forget me.
I will. Transformers it is. All right, yeah, so Transformers Rise of the Beast, not really interested. Guardians 3, you going to watch it or are you going to skip it?
Not after that holiday special, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, not that great, I agree. So I'm not super excited for that. I think any DC thing that they're announcing is just ridiculous. Like, they're doing Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom, and I'm like, okay, well, they've killed every other character in the old DC universe, yeah? Because James Gunn is cleaning house and he's basically redesigning it. And I think they haven't said, hey, Jason Momoa is not coming back because...
Just make him Lobo in your new universe.
Well, that's supposedly what they're thinking about doing. But my point of the matter is that they haven't said he's not Aquaman anymore because if they cancel his Aquaman before this movie comes out...
No, it's just a shot in the foot.
Yeah, people aren't going to go see it. So basically it's a dead franchise, but new Aquaman's coming out. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny... I will go see it, but I'm not...
some big, continuous franchise movies coming out next year.
Yeah, massive movies coming out. I hope it's good, but I don't have high hopes.
I'm feeling a bit cynical today. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, I hope
everything
it is,
you've listed sounds terrible to me. Except for Oppenheimer, that sounds good.
Yeah, and The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, and the TV show Last of Us. Yeah. Okay, there are some things.
Yeah, The Flash. Now, I know there's so much... shit that's gone on with this movie and reshoots, etc. And obviously Ezra Miller has been at the center of that.
It might be one of those things that people go and see because of all the controversy though.
And also I what I'm wondering is Michael Keaton, he's in it. Are you still going to see it because our Batman's coming back? You don't know. Okay. Well, that's better than a no, I guess. I'm just Michael Keaton's Batman.
Am I going to go and see it?
Yes.
No.
You're not. Okay.
No, I will watch the clips of him on YouTube when he's Batman when it comes
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Kraven the Hunter. Apparently they're doing that. That's
Who's
still
playing Kraven?
The Aaron Taylor Johnson, the guy who plays Kick-Ass. He played Quicksilver in the Age of Ultron. Yeah. That dude is playing Kraven the Hunter. Across the Spider-Verse. It's Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, but it's the second movie. I just watched that first one again the other day, and it is such a fun film that I do have hope it's going to continue that.
I didn't like the look of the trailer for the first movie, and I saw the movie, and I thought it was great. I think that this trailer looks terrible as well, but I'll probably enjoy the movie.
Hopefully. Now, there's a new Fast and the Furious coming out, and the only reason I put it on here is because they fucked up with the title so much. So Fast and the Furious X is what it's called. Fast X is what it's called because it's the 10th movie in the franchise. How
they done 10? I feel like this is the 20th.
They've done 10. How they didn't call it Fast 10 Your Seatbelts, I don't know. That's the greatest name you could possibly call it.
Terrible.
Fasten your seatbelts. I'm in. I will fasten my seatbelts all the way to the cinema. And I wouldn't go to the cinema to see it, but still.
How many of those movies have you seen?
Ooh, I went on a binge of them a few years ago in an ironic sense where I'm like, I haven't seen like six, seven, eight, nine, something like that. And I watched 6, 7, and 8. I haven't seen 9, but I watched all of them up to 8. Yeah, just for shits and giggles because I was looking for content. And I was single at the time, and I was like, fuck it, I'll just watch this.
You're making a lot of excuses. You can just say you wanted to watch the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Well, I enjoyed the first one, and I enjoyed the fifth one,
you
actually.
Did. You made like the first movie like a part of your personality when you were a teenager.
Part of my personality.
You started wearing like those white undershirts everywhere.
Yeah.
Because of Vin Diesel, and then you had like replica models of all the Fast and the Furious cars like in your room.
Oh, I forgot about those replica models. That's mm-hmm. right. I had the Supra, didn't I? I had the orange one.
Yeah, the orange one and the green one as well.
And the green one. Yeah, the Mitsubishi Eclipse. Yeah. I forgot about that part of my life.
You even remember the cars as well.
I even remember the cars. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that title.
Sorry, bro. You can watch Fast and Furious, bro.
I like Fast and Furious, bro. That title is a missed opportunity for sure. Then Shazam 2, I think that's just another dead franchise, but they're not going to say it's cancelled until after it comes out in the box office. Then we got.
Yeah, it's weird that you've got movies coming out, but you've already announced the world that you're.
Yeah.
Like cancelling everything.
What a stupid mistake. And also.
Why did they announce that now? Why didn't they wait till these movies were done?
I don't know. And Warner Brothers just released a Black Adam and Man of Steel duo pack. And that is just the stupidest move because not only is Black Adam done, right. but Man of Steel, Henry Cavill's done as Superman because they announced he was coming back and then a week later we're like, fuck off, we don't need you anymore. Did him dirty.
What if the new DC universe is even worse than the one we currently have?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Can you imagine? Oh my God.
It could very well be just as bad, if not worse.
Well, as we said, I'm burnt out on superhero stuff, so...
And there's a lot coming out this year, man.
It's a shame. I mean, my God, my 20s were very fun watching every new Marvel movie that was coming out. Being so excited to finally get to Thanos, and then it happened, and it was amazing. And now we're just here in our 30s.
That was one of my favorite experiences in the cinema, was going to see Endgame with you and watching in that cinema where we had our own personal fridges and our own personal seats where no one can hear us if we wanted to talk.
Dope theater.
And we watched that, and I just remember being like, this is some of the best shit I've seen in the cinema in a very long time.
Oh, the final movie.
We saw Endgame together. Yeah. And that was great. That was really good fun. Actually, we even have a review after we saw it on this podcast. It's like way back whenever it came out. But we came home and recorded right away, and we just gave our thoughts on the movie because we enjoyed it that much. There's Dune Part 2. I couldn't even get through part one of that film.
Dune, sadly. You mean?
Yeah, Dune or Dune. I don't know how to say it. Some people say Dune.
Yeah, Sand Dune. I get that.
Yeah.
But when you say Dune part two, then I'm just thinking of like, what?
The summer part two.
July?
Dune part two. That's July. Oh, God. The second half of June. Quantumania, that's coming out. And I'm. That's the new Ant-Man one where we're finally going to get to see, what's his face? I can't even remember his name now. It's terrible. The new villain.
Oh.
No, the new villain. The
Krang.
Krang.
No, that's
Ninja Turtles.
TNT. Kang.
Kang.
That's how much we care.
I know. Ninja Turtles, though, they've got a new movie coming out called Mutant Mayhem that's going to be made
by... action?
No, sadly, it's animated, which pains me. And it's made by Seth Rogen. So that's coming out this year. Well,
Seth Rogen, he is involved in the making of The Boys, which is the best superhero content you can get currently.
Yes.
That show doesn't give me fatigue. That show is just amazing, and it's social commentary, social political commentary is just so on point about America, and it's just mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
But Seth Rogen also has touched other projects like Priest.
Invincible?
That's true.
Invincible's very good.
So his track record is pretty good.
Yeah. Invincible's coming out. Season 2 is coming out this year. That's also lined up to come out. So I'm looking forward to seeing season 2 of that show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
We got Blue Beetle, another DC franchise that I'm surprised they're doing, but Blue Beetle is being made into a movie.
Blue Beetle was the first new DC Universe movie.
I think it might be, but then it would have already been made. Surely it's not being...
What's the release?
I don't know, but James Gunn hasn't been really head of DC for long, and
I thought he said, like, oh, Blue Beetle is like our start of our universe.
Oh, I haven't read that, but I'd be surprised because he hasn't even designed the story yet. They're still working on what they're going to do. So
that's supposed to come out this year.
Blue Beetle. Yep. We got Dungeons and Dragons, which I thought the trailer looked fun, but I still have no interest in actually seeing that. Maybe when it's on streaming and I'm got a free afternoon, I might put it on, but, yeah, I'm not a Dungeons and Dragons guy anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, to enjoy Dungeons and Dragons is like a movie. It's just fantasy, so you don't need to be a fan of playing the game Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. It probably helps, but...
It's all orcs and goblins and shit like that.
Yeah, that's true. John Wick 4. There's another John Wick coming out this year. There's a Wonka movie coming out, a prequel about how you met the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, I don't give a shit about that.
Timothy Chalamet.
Who the fuck is putting that shit together?
Timothy Chalamet is playing Wonka.
Who's Timothy Chalamet?
He's just Chalamet. You sound like a granddad. Who's Timothy Chalamet? He's an actor. He's young. I'm not.
I better look him up.
No, I mean, you're not even going to be able to spell his fucking name. Just type in Wonka. Type in Wonka, and then you'll see him. Shamalama ding dong.
Well, it's not this guy. This looks like the guy that our grandma used to be.
No, but he's in the picture on the far left, the young kid. He's in June.
Oh my God. Have you seen the spelling of his name?
Yes, it's outrageous. Yeah, it's I know.
Timot H.
Yes.
E with a squiggle yes, above it.
I know.
C-H-A Lame.
That's why I told you to type. Yes, I told you to type in Wonka because then you wouldn't have to try and spell out that name.
Anyway. I think he's pretty. It might be all right casting for Wonka.
He looks like a young
kid in constantly and stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, but you don't want to see a prequel about how he met the Oompa Loompas.
No fucking care.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want to know that story because the whole wonder of Willy Wonka is it's just. You're in a world of imagination, so just leave. Like, if you want to have exposition on how I met the Oompa Loompas, like, are they going to start a Willy Wonka fucking franchise now?
I wouldn't be surprised if they did a Roald Dahl franchise and started with Wonka, and then they're like,
the only one I'd be interested in is the fucking the kids, all the kids, like. What happened to them after they went through like the tubes and shit?
Oh, that's a great like Danny the Champion of the World.
A really fucked up like dark view of this fat kid going through like a chocolate fountain and like.
Oh, you're talking about Justin. I thought you meant all the kids and all the Roald Dahl stories and what happened to them after their stories.
Like, oh no, I don't care about that.
Oh, just the Wonka kids.
No, I'm talking what's that movie where Ryan,
find your words.
Deadpool guy, Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds, he's like trapped in a box, right?
Oh yeah, buried.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. But the fat kid from Willy Wonka in a tube, surrounded by chocolate.
Hello, is anybody
going to help me?
I'm eating a lot of chocolate, but it doesn't seem to be going down.
I eat the chocolate to get rid of the chocolate. It makes me bigger and I pluck up the hole even more.
Why can I do that German accent? But when it comes to Dr. Octopus, I can't do it. It's like a revving engine.
That's very weird.
There's a movie coming out this year that I think go on IMDb right now on your phone and type in The Exorcist. And you're going to be like, why am I typing in The Exorcist?
The Exorcist?
They are doing...
You know, that's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
They are doing a sequel to The Exorcist.
Called what?
It's just called The Exorcist. And it's coming out in 2023. Look at the poster on IMDb. You looking at it?
I'm nearly there.
Okay. It should say Exorcist 2023.
Blumhouse is making it. That makes it.
Yeah, Blumhouse is good. I know. And it's a sequel to... Are you seeing the poster right now? Because I'm just waiting for your reaction. I don't want to give anything away, but I saw the poster.
Hey, Reddit!
Yeah, that poster is freaky, man. It's just her head.
You know, yeah, you know that this bitch right here is like my biggest, like one of my biggest fears ever.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it just scares the shit out of you. That poster's scary.
That poster is fucking amazing.
It is, isn't it? It's one of the best posters I've seen in a really long time.
And Blumhouse is making it, so I'm in.
Yeah, and read the description
sequel
of what it says.
It's a 1973 film about a 12-year-old girl who is possessed by a mysterious demonic entity, forcing her mother to seek the help of two priests to save her. I mean, you're just describing the first movie.
So they don't give much away.
It's a sequel to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know people love The Exorcist 3, which I've never seen, and hate The Exorcist...
the second 2. One.
Man, that poster. Oof.
That poster is frightening.
I'm still looking at it. Because they haven't nailed the look, like... The makeup on that little girl to me is still incredible, and like everyone always talks about. Oh man, I gotta take this poster off my phone. everyone always talks about like, there's just something evil about that film, and it's that practical effects. Like it was just that little girl's face combined with the makeup they did. There's a great behind the scenes thing where they show the stages of her makeup going on. She like turns her face, and it just gradually gets worse and worse and eviler. It's like it's just
fucked up, man.
It is, but no one's, besides Evil Dead, no one's really made that possessed look as scary as I think it should be.
Right.
That poster is I'm in. I like that poster alone, and Blumhouse has sold me on the movie.
I knew it would.
I'm glad you ended with this one, bud, because now I'm actually excited for something.
Yep, absolutely. I thought that would be a good one then. There's a bunch of honorable mentions that I'll just list quickly through. There's that 65 movie with Adam Driver that looks very interesting about him being with dinosaurs.
With the dinos, yeah. Hopefully that's good.
Hopefully that's good because it's the first time someone's gone, fuck Jurassic Park, I'm going to do dinosaurs as well. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm going to make
at least it's the first time someone's done that with a budget.
Yep. Then there's a Super Mario movie. There's Barbie.
Oh, God. You know what? I'm curious about the Barbie movie.
Me too. I'm gonna go see that. I
watched
like
the
Margot
teaser
Robbie.
Where it compared it to 2001: A Space Odyssey with like her standing there.
Yes. And what is she supposed to be, like a giant doll? Like, I don't get what the movie's about. But like, is it the person that
I think she's a Barbie girl is? In a Barbie world?
Okay.
I'm not even. I feel like that was how they pitched it.
Right. Okay.
I hope the poster says she's a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
There's Scream 6, which I like the Scream franchise, and this time it's in New York. It's not in, like, the same old town.
Oh, it's scary.
It's in scary New York. There's a Hunger Games prequel coming out. There's a new Haunted Mansion coming out that Disney is doing.
Oh, okay.
There's Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. They're doing a new Chicken Run movie, a Clay Animation movie, which is interesting. New season of Succession.
Racist and misogynistic
Mel Gibson is not in it. A new season of Succession, which is something I still need to watch.
Cannot wait. That's like a favorite show.
New season of Loki, season 2 of that show is coming out. Secret Invasion, which actually looks fairly interesting, about Nick Fury. I think that looks pretty decent from what I saw the trailer, but obviously these Marvel shows dip in quality a lot, so who knows until I see it. And then finally, Ted Lasso. We got the final season of Ted Lasso.
About bloody time. It's been like 2 years.
And, well, COVID obviously slowed that down.
They were filming during COVID.
I know, and they stopped for a long time, and then... I think there were rewrites as well because they decided to make it the final season instead of continuing on. So it's coming. It's coming this year. And I'm very excited because that's one of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
So I love that. And that's pretty much the list I have. Yeah, that's all of the
Exorcist
potential ones. I knew that would get you. When I saw that, I was like, The Exorcist? Why isn't The Exorcist in 2023? And then had no idea. It was a new movie.
If it is... A sequel,
because yes,
it And so, but the poster is the little girl coming down the stairs looking absolutely wrecked. Oh my
God. It is.
Every time I zoom in, that is just that is just my worst nightmare.
Yeah, so for anyone that wants to know what the poster is that hasn't looked it up yet, it is the little girl from The Exorcist.
I'm actually getting the heebie-jeebies.
It's at the top of the stairs.
Now I just see pictures of like her.
Yeah. But it's at the top of the stairs, her head is upside down, she's on all fours, and she's like at the top of the banisters, just peeking around the corner of the stairs.
Oh, I hate it!
Yeah, it's really
I love it. I love hate it!
Yeah, yeah. I knew you'd like that.
Well, recently I told you, like, stuff has not been scaring me, and that's the first thing in a while that's, like, giving me the willies.
You're going to keep on looking at it. You'll be like, stop it!
I've already saved it to my phone.
Have you? Oh, nice. I'm very intrigued to know what that movie's about.
What I was saying was at the end of that movie, the priest successfully gets the demon out of the little girl.
Into him.
Flings himself out the window to sacrifice himself. Spoiler, if you haven't seen The Fucking Exorcist from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then kills himself, which lets the demon out so it can't get back into somebody for at least a while, I would think. So if the poster is the little girl coming down the stairs, then I hope it doesn't shit all over the finale of that film.
No, I hope so too. I think what they'll probably do is
flashback or something.
A flashback scenario where they'll show more stuff when she was possessed. I don't know if it's going to continue in the 70s or if it's going to be like what the Halloween franchise did, where it's like, now we're picking up, you know, 30 years later, and this is what, you know, Laurie Strode's doing, and this is what Michael Myers is doing. Maybe it will be
it will come back for her daughter or something.
Something like that would be really interesting and fun to see. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I want to work on stuff like this. That sounds fun.
Well, you work in comics, bud, not in the movies. all right, and that's 2023 as far as what we have coming out that we're not looking forward to or we are looking forward to. More stuff that we're not looking forward to than we are, but that's all right. And if you're looking forward to stuff that we're not looking forward to, that's fucking cool, and everybody can like what they want to like.
If you fucking love Beast Wars, you enjoy your Beast Wars.
Exactly. You just...
You beat your wars to it.
I was going to say something like that. I was going to say, you get in a war with your beast, but yeah, that's a good one as well. All right, are we ready to review this episode?
Absolutely.
Okay, but first, before we do, let's hear from our special guests, Sarah Ballantyne and Gary Imhoff, reunited after many years, talking about Spider-Man and specifically The Wedding. And oh yeah, before I forget, right before we get into this interview, there is a little bit of sound distortion. There was someone mowing the lawn inconveniently outside of one of their houses. And
Obviously a DC fan.
So I tried to edit it out as best as I can, and I dulled it down with noise reduction. But there's a slight hum every now and then, so apologies in advance. But anyway, enjoy. Hello, listeners, and welcome to a very special segment of this show where we're going to not only review the episode The Wedding, but we have two people that were heavily involved in The Wedding. Two people, without them, The Wedding episode would not happen. Please welcome to the show the voice of Mary Jane, Sarah Ballantyne, and the voice of Harry Osborn, Gary Imhoff. Hello, both of you. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Hi.
I should probably figure out who talks first. I should have said Sarah first and then Gary. But oh, yeah, that was a nice little...
I should have been a gentleman and let her speak first, but I didn't.
how very Harry Osborn of you.
Exactly.
We're just so happy that Spider-Man has such a wonderful following and fan base, and something that we did and we adored at the time that still goes on and people love it. That's really remarkable. You know, I've done many other things that nobody cares. So this is nice.
I'm so happy to have you, and so are our listeners for sure. So thank you both. As I said, we're going to be talking about the episode The Wedding, which kicks off season 5, the last season of this show that existed before it was sadly taken off the air.
We had John Semper on a few episodes ago, and he got in deep about all of that, and that was really great to understand all of that stuff. But let's go back to this episode with you guys. So my first question, I suppose, is how long has it been since both of you have seen each other?
Wow. I think the last time we saw each other was the 20th anniversary of the show when we went to Comic-Con in L.A.,
yeah,
and we did a panel. All spoke on a panel. It was great because we all had this great reunion. It was all of the major players on the show, and it was really fun to see each other. But that's a while ago now, since we're rounding the 30-year anniversary, so it's probably 10 years ago.
It's almost. I think it was like 7 years ago.
And what I'm remarking about is Sarah looks exactly the same.
Everyone thinks I should be a redhead because Mary Jane was a redhead, but I tried it. It didn't work so much. Gary, you're very nice, and the check is in the mail, so thank you.
Okay.
No, but basically, I think we really had such a great time doing it, and everybody genuinely liked each other and respected each other. We never had any falling out or any weirdness. You know, it was just kind of an amazing job.
You know, I was thinking about it. There are two or three experiences in my career where everything was glorious. It's like it used to be when we were amateur actors and just doing it for fun in high school or community theater or wherever it was. This was one of those experiences with everybody, and always is when we get together. Everybody just genuinely likes each other. And I know that sounds like PR and it sounds like we're making it up. It actually isn't. It's actually the truth. I don't remember a tense moment with anybody, anytime, anywhere. And that has a lot to do with John Semper, who you just mentioned. John Semper.
John Semper. We cannot praise him enough. And
the tone of a job is set at the top. And he was just, he just had a love of this material, and he had a love of this medium, and we had a love for it all too. And it really was a glorious experience. I look forward to going to the studio every single time we did an episode.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you can sense that. You were talking about the 20th anniversary, and I actually, that jogged my memory. I did see that on YouTube, and all of you guys have great chemistry, and you can sense it's kind of like, it's like a high school reunion, you know, where you're, but except for you weren't bullied and there was no one you hated. It was like everybody was friends and everyone was happy to see each other.
Well, it's true. And here's a funny thing. Sarah, were you there the day we went to see Stan Lee? It might have been just Christopher and you were there.
I met Stan two times, and we went in the limo together to Comic-Con with Stan Lee one of the times. But both times, it was thrilling to be in his company, and he was
he's kind of the same. He was like a teenager in an adult body. He never
absolutely
grew up.
Absolutely.
I was in his office one day, and he was like, look at this. And he's got the energy of like a teenager, and he was into all of his toys and all of the merchandise and all this. And it was just, it's the same thing with him. So it's from Stan Lee to John Semper to the rest of us.
Yeah.
I think there's something about Spider-Man that keeps people in a kind of suspended adolescence of joy, because it's not a jaded show, because it's psychological, and there's so much depth to all the characters have amazing backstories and they're so complex. I think it really makes everybody seem three-dimensional, you know, very full. They're very full characters.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about this on the show where the Spider-Man the Animated Series, it didn't stray away from adult themes, and it didn't treat children like they were children, if that makes sense. They dealt with some adult themes, but they also dealt with some complex plots, and they weren't dumbing it down for kids. They were putting it out there as like, these are real problems, these are things that you'll face when you're a teenager, or maybe you're facing now, or these are the things you might come in contact. How do you juggle your social life, school, dating, and also being a superhero in Spider-Man's case? But that carries on, because I started watching it when I was 8, 9, something like that. And that, you know, I still watch it now because those themes still are relevant, and they don't dumb it down. It's not like I'm watching a children's show, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Yes, Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Sarah.
No, I was going to say, they didn't coddle to the kids. They treated everyone very respectfully. I mean, they dealt with things that were truly issues of teenagers, but not dumbing down, like you said. That's exactly the expression.
And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that part of what made Spider-Man the comic different from all the DC comics? And wasn't it part of what brought Stan Lee to prominence? Was this was the first superhero that was a real person that had real problems in life and really was facing the angst and all the troubles that teenagers were facing in those days?
Absolutely, yeah. He wasn't a millionaire. He didn't have powers from another planet. You know, he was a kid that got bitten by a spider, and suddenly that's another thing he's got to deal with is being a superhero. Yeah, absolutely.
Acne and being a superhero, both very important.
So just some credits that I always go through for episodes. This episode premiered September 12th, 1997, if you can believe it. It was directed by Bob Richardson, written by Meg McLaughlin and John Semper, and starring Christopher Daniel Barnes as Peter Parker and Spider-Man, Sarah Ballantyne as Mary Jane Watson, Gary Imhoff as Green Goblin and Harry Osborn, Julie Bennett as Aunt May, Marla Rubinoff as Liz Allen, Ed Asner as JJ or J. Jonah Jameson, Rodney Salisbury as Robbie Robertson, Michelle Barrett as Anna Watson, Patrick Labyoteaux as Flash Thompson, Jennifer Hale as Black Cat and Felicia Hardy, Richard Mull as the Scorpion, Barbara Goodson as Dr. Ashley Kafka, Neil Ross as Green Goblin and Norman Osborn, Roscoe Lee Brown as the Kingpin, Maxwell Caulfield as Alistair Smythe, and David Warner as Herbert Landon. My, this episode had so many people in it.
What a cast. Yeah. I would sit around the room sometimes and think, I'm the only person I've never heard of.
That was part of what I loved about the show is every week it was like, ooh, who's the person that I grew up with watching on television going to be on the show today?
That's crazy.
We had Martin Landau on the show. Mark mm-hmm. Hamill was on the show. I mean, we had really some heavy hitters. It was super fun. I mean, I've never had an experience like that, and I've done other shows. I mean, it's great. Always working is great, but that was remarkable.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I don't know if you know, but Majel Barrett, I don't know whether it's Majel or Majel. She was on this episode. Do you know who she is?
I do.
She was?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Please tell
me. She was Gene Roddenberry's wife, the man who created Star Trek.
No way.
Yes.
Semper's a big Trekkie.
Yeah.
Well, Semper has a lot of little sort of subtle things in here. The doctor who I go to, the psychiatrist, is Dr. Kafka. Yeah. So you can bet that John Semper's a fan of Kafka's writing because Kafka blended realism and fantasy. And you can bet there's all kinds of subtle little references in here that are all Semperisms. And Major Barrett was Gene Roddenberry's wife. And you know, and he had Martin Landau on. Now, Martin Landau's not a Trekkie, but Martin Landau was Mission Impossible, the original series on TV, and you can bet that John loved that series. And should we smile for the camera, Sarah? so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the cast is always an astounding one, but this episode in particular, I was surprised because I haven't seen it. So just so you guys know, when I started doing this podcast, I didn't watch any of the episodes until I finally got to reviewing it because I wanted to hold them out and kind of have a bit of a fresh take on them coming back mm-hmm. after, you know, we've been doing this podcast 4 or 5 years now. So I completely forgot what happened in this episode. And I'm like, oh, there's Scorpion, and oh, there's Kingpin, and oh, there's this, and people are just showing up left, right, and center. And I'm like, this is just so well balanced. There's so many characters in this, and they all belong there, but it's not like they're hogging too much of the story. It was still very much focused on there is a wedding, you know, between Mary Jane and Peter Parker, and Harry Osborn wants to stop it. And it was focused on that, but all these other characters helped heighten it and just make it even more engaging and entertaining. Yeah, I was really happy watching this episode today. I was like, this is excellent. I can't wait to talk about it.
And also to throw in one for my character, I become the Green Goblin in this episode.
You do, yes. So
great episode for you.
My first question to you, Gary, is so 5 minutes in, we hear your soft and gentle voice as Harry Osborn, as we get a recap on what's happened and how his nightmare has begun and et cetera. So my question to you is, what was it like playing both helpless Harry and gruesome Green Goblin in the same episode? because you were flip-flopping, and that was really cool to see.
Well, I hate to admit it. I haven't seen this episode in a long, long time. And when I watched it, I went, oh, I did that pretty well. I was kind of impressed with myself because there is a blending. The voice kind of creeps in is what happens. And I was kind of watching it going, that's an interesting choice. I honestly don't remember making that choice, but I must have. And as I listened to it, I went, oh, that's really interesting. I sort of flip-flop. And then when I pull the mask off in the wedding scene and talk to Mary Jane, Harry comes back. And it's kind of an interesting layering of the two voices. It was fun. I was waiting for this episode because when I auditioned, they gave me Harry Osborn and the Green Goblin. And I don't become the Green Goblin until the fifth season. So this was actually the launch of that side of my character. And I swear I booked this job on the laugh because the laugh was not called for and I threw it in the audition and I watched everybody's face change in the booth. I thought, I may have just booked this job. I don't know. It feels like it. And so it was really fun to do this episode because this was where it really, you know, this is where
it culminated. You know, yeah, absolutely.
The rubber meets the road, you know, you really get off on this. and I was trying to figure out, and I wish Neil was here, who played my father, Norman. Yeah. I wish we could figure out who invented the voice first, because the voice that he's using is very close to my Green Goblin voice, but the Green Goblin voice I'm using is the voice I used in the audition.
Right. So was Neil No, Neil wasn't booked by the time you're probably all auditioning at the same time because you were playing his son.
I presume so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's funny is we both came up with very similar voices and very similar laughs, ostensibly on our own. And I found that fascinating because I was watching him and going, oh, my God, our voices were very, very similar.
Yeah, I mean, I believe your chemistry, both you and Neil Ross, is so good. I believe that you're father and son when I watch the show. And that's an important element, obviously. And Harry Osborn, Norman Osborn, Harry's always trying to please his father, and who obviously is a bad dude. And that clouds his judgment. But yeah, you both have great chemistry working together, you and Neil, as father and son. It really works. So Sarah, now at 7 minutes in, we hear your soothing and caring voice as Mary Jane. And she expresses her concern about Harry to Liz and obviously kicks off the whole episode. So what I'm curious, I've not asked you this before, who were some of your influences when you were characterizing Mary Jane?
Well, excuse me, I wasn't, a comic book nut, and I really didn't know a lot about Spider-Man. I mean, I knew Spider-Man, but I didn't know a lot about Mary Jane. So in my own mind, I created what I thought would be the kind of girl that would fall in love with him because he was kind of a good guy. You know, she didn't like the bad boys. She liked the good guy. And in terms of the voice, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't that different from my own voice.
Yeah.
I have influences in my head because I loved certain, I like old movies and I'm very in love with Marilyn Monroe and Jean Harlow and just old movie people.
Who were you just talking about before we started recording? It was a 25-year-old actress that stopped.
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. You go. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I would never say I related to Grace Kelly. To me, she was already a princess before she got royal. But for me, I just wanted her to be caring and warm, and my voice truly just suited what they wanted. Because I know Jennifer Tilly really wanted to play Mary Jane, and you know she kind of sounds like this.
Yeah.
So I think that just what I brought to her, her empathy and her kindness and her caring, is what got me the part. Although, who knows? A lot of people auditioned. I know a lot of actresses wanted the role who had way more animated credits than I did. I think they wanted an actress. I think they wanted someone who could act the role more than a voice. This is not, I don't mean to be negative. Voice artists are very, very wonderful actors too. But in the 90s, it wasn't as prevalent that actors were doing animation. So I really don't know who was in my head. I guess you know, I'd say Marilyn Monroe, Brigitte Bardot, and Edie Adams, if I have to give them.
That's an amazing combo, actually. I really like that. Along with
those are my early childhood idols that I would see on the screen and go, yeah. Wow, you know, Edie Adams had that, why don't you pick one up and smoke it sometime? You know, the Muriel cigar ads. These are all things that I was influenced by as a kid.
No, that's wonderful. I think you answered that. You hit the nail right on the head with that one. And also, there's a little bit of you there as well, as you said. Like, you know, when I'm talking to both of you, I can see where Gary's going to... He is Harry Osborn and Green Goblin. I can hear it in his voice, but it's not there. But when the moment you opened your mouth when I started talking to you, every time I talk to you, I'm like, inside, like, I'm keeping cool, but I'm like, that's fucking Mary Jane. You know what I mean? Like, that's... It's always been, you've always been that, and you just have this voice, like, as a kid, Mary Jane, you know, obviously was always Peter's number one love, and that was really exemplified perfectly in the show. And yeah, you
she
just
was,
have this,
she
you
was
have
also
this voice.
Harry's number one love. I want to throw that
there
in.
There you go, just, yeah.
She had everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's just that it's a really soothing, as I said, soothing and caring voice. It's like a warm oh. blanket, you know, it's a nice oh. warm blanket. I just want to give you a cuddle.
Oh, thank you. That's the nicest thing. I appreciate that. I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think it's both excellent. So there's multiple scenes where you guys cross in this episode. Do you remember recording this episode at all? Do you have any memories of doing this episode? Is this one in the 65 that you guys did?
Oh yeah, it was pretty substantial. You know, they all did. They all had their valuable moments, but. I love the way Mary Jane talked to Harry about, you know, the caring and the friendship and how she realized that he had been kind of abused, you know, really abused by his father and how he's been treated. And
there's the adult themes, right, that I was talking
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. It's yeah. pretty heavy. I'm sure, Gary, you have more psychological insight into your character, but Mary Jane cared for him very much. But she did not want to be his wife. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember this episode. I remember feeling, I honestly and truthfully, I hope this is working. Because, you know, part of this whole series for me, because I also, though I've done some other animation, was not an animation actor. And what Sarah was saying about them picking non-animation actors, which they did a lot of. I think that was part of it. And oddly enough, I used a voice not too distant from my voice for Harry. And it was kind of the way a lot of people worked. You know, Harry, I just raised him a little bit.
And yeah,
made
there
him
it
a little,
is.
You know, in more innocent than I thought I was anyway.
Yeah.
But it's very close. But I remember this episode, and I remember as I was watching it again going, oh, that does work. I remember thinking I'm being overly dramatic. You know, is this over the top? And it doesn't, you know, they animated to it to make it all work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's comics, right? Like, you got to, if you just got your voice, you got to throw in that exaggeration. And that's what makes it so great. Yeah, there's a great scene with you guys both at the altar where obviously you're trying to force the priest to marry you both. And as you said, that's when you take off the mask and it goes from Goblin to Harry again. And I just really enjoy watching both of you work. And of course, I know this, you guys all stood up and recorded together. So you must have recorded that scene together, right? Face to face?
We must have, Gary. We must have.
Yeah. Yes. That was one of the great things about the show, was we all worked together. I hear at Disney, at least for films, you never see each other. After the first table reading, and you just go in the booth and the director directs your voice according to what he knows the other actors are going to do or what he wants the other actors to do. This is one of the great things about this show, was we all worked together all the time, unless somebody wasn't in town, but almost always everybody was there. I mean, big stars, little stars, you know, we were all there together every episode. It was just great. And the spontaneity of that. I mean, Sarah and I also are theater actors and television actors and film actors. The spontaneity of that is what we were used to, and it was just great.
Absolutely.
Very, very rare. Very, very rare. That was like the end of an era, I think, in terms of that. But yes, we all...
Yeah, I mean, you guys in the Batman show that was going on in the 90s both did that. And look, everyone's still talking about those two shows, you know, 30 years on.
Interesting. So. Interesting, huh?
Yeah,
Sarah, I have a question for you. Here, yeah. He'll like this because this is the personal stuff. Did we know each other before we did this series together? I was trying to remember.
I feel that I did. I was aware of you, and I did know you. I think you had done some musicals, maybe.
Yes.
You sing? You sing?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't know you well, but I was aware of your presence, and I knew who you were in terms of the business.
I have some feeling like we met or worked together maybe on a reading of a show or something. It wasn't anything big. It wasn't a big production or anything. But I have this sense that I knew you even before Spider-Man, because I remember showing up to Spider-Man and going, oh, Sarah's here. it was like almost like an old friend, although we weren't. But,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I know. I had a comfortable sense of you. And I guess that I just don't know, Gary, but I'm pretty sure I've met you before or we had worked together before. Maybe
it's either that or I grew up with your father on television and I feel like I knew you. I don't know. It's one or the other.
Oh, that could be. Did you ever meet my father?
I didn't.
He did an episode of Spider-Man. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got him on the show. We played like a maintenance guy or a garbage man or something. It was really fun. It was so great to be able to do that, you know, and I think John Semper helped make that happen, of course. But who was the other guy that was not Tony Pastor? Did he direct any of the episodes that you
he
did?
Was Tony Pastor was the voice director, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Bob Richardson was the director.
The overall the animation director and everything.
But I forget exactly what episode my dad did, but it was such a kick. It was just a kick to have him on the show too. It's fun.
That's amazing. You know?
Well, here's an inside story relatable to that story.
I mean, I'm just going to kick back and have some popcorn. This is awesome. Gary's hosting my show. Please go ahead.
sorry.
No. This is awesome. This is way better than
the woman who played Aunt May in this episode. Was my manager. Now, you want to know the story behind that?
No way!
Linda Gary was the original Aunt May, and she was ill.
Yes.
And she was even ill when she started the series. And I remember meeting her, and she was dealing with whatever it was she had.
Yeah.
And eventually she passed away. And I believe John asked me, do you know anybody who could do Aunt May? Now, the interesting thing was my manager, who I knew had been an actress, and I think I remembered had been done voiceover. I went to her, and her name as a manager was Marianne Daniels, but her name as a voiceover artist was her real name, which is Julie Bennett. And I went to her and I said, you know, I could probably get you an audition. Would you be interested? She said, absolutely. She said, I'd love to keep my insurance. It's actually what she said.
When in history does a client go to a manager and say, I might have a job for you?
Yeah.
And, awesome.
And she came in and she read for them. And she's a very talented voiceover artist. And I was listening to her voice and going, my God, she really did change her voice. She really knew how to shape this voice. I think she was trying to copy Linda Gary's voice as much as she could. And that was my manager. So there you go. So it's kind of part of the fun of the show.
Wow.
Was like, hey guys, you know anybody who could play Aunt May?
This part.
You know.
And to piggyback on that story, and I might have told you this before, my mom, Cecile Cabot, who was a comedian, cabaret performer, many IMDb credits, like in everything. She was Aunt May on the album when Rene Auberjonois played Spider-Man.
Wow.
I told this to John Semper way after I'd been hired. But isn't that hilarious? She did the voice of me in the 60s, early 60s. And she's on that album.
Okay, so my next question for you guys is, watching this episode again, obviously, when was the last time you watched the show, actually, before I even asked that question?
I'm not sure I've watched all of the episodes ever, to be honest with you.
I mean, you did them, right? So
I know my son, I think my son may have watched when they were on Amazon Prime. I think my son may have watched all the episodes because he got really excited about
that. That's cool. That's cool, right? That's pretty cool.
Well, it reminds me of what used to happen. We went to San Diego Comic-Con when we were first doing the show. And I remember a father and his 10-year-old son coming in and the father saying, I'm a big Spider-Man fan and I want to pass this on to my son. Which goes to what Sarah was saying about how popular this series is and how popular these characters are.
That
they're just passed from generation to generation.
Gary, you probably are aware of this too, that people like yourself that watch the show as kids, they're now grown up and they have kids and they're turning their kids on to our show because it was so meaningful to them. I mean, not a ton of fan mail, but I get some fans on Instagram and Facebook who will write me and say, you know, I loved you so much in the 90s. I loved hearing you. And now my kids are enjoying all the episodes. And that's just, I just love that. I mean, that's kind of fulfilling. It just makes you feel part of the tapestry of everybody's lives, and that feels good.
Absolutely. Yeah, so and having asked that, watching this episode again, what were some moments for you that stood out, like whether it's story or animation or the way another voice actor did something? Were there any moments when you're watching it where you're just like, oh, that was cool, or I enjoyed that?
I hadn't seen it in a long time, but I told you my friend had it on Amazon Prime and I was able to watch the episode again. And all the emotions for me came back, you know. Of course, my heart went out to Harry about how he felt, but it was never going to happen. You can't force someone to love you, silly. But I certainly understood the angst and the pain of his feelings. But yeah, I just I'm always impressed with the acting. It doesn't seem fake. It doesn't seem phony. It feels very authentic, and that speaks to the director and to the caliber of the talent that they had there. And I don't know. I was very moved actually by it. And of course, I did not appreciate the black cat, you know, flirting with Peter at all. But I did not appreciate.
Yeah, I did think he's getting a kiss blown to him on his wedding day. It's probably
yeah,
not the
nice working with you, Spider. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was pretty much impressed, as I always am when I watch the show, but this episode in particular, how well written and well produced it was all around. That the thing really worked. Like, I got involved in it. And yeah. I was also analyzing it, watching it, and remembering, and how it's clear. I tell when I work with a lot of young actors, and when I meet them, I usually tell them this is one of my credits because everybody's equally impressed, no matter what generation. And this show, there have been other iterations of Spider-Man since, and awful lot of people remember this one. I think it's by far the best animation of any Spider-Man version.
I agree.
And it's just the show really worked.
It
and
really did.
Really holds your attention. This particular episode in particular. This is, I remembered when I finally watched it, I went, oh, this is my favorite episode of all the ones I did.
Oh, I'm glad you came on for this one. That's awesome.
This is the one where we really get into it and the transition happens and Harry's really in the midst of all of his angst and all of his troubles, and this was a fun episode to do.
Well, this was really your starring episode, I would say. If you know when they were listing credits, this would be tops for you, definitely.
It's true.
You got to really do a lot of fun stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I lost you, Sarah. That's not fun.
No, I understand. It was heartbreaking for you, darling, but somehow you've moved on. You were able to carry on.
He got Liz Allen at the end, didn't he?
That's true. Liz Allen.
She was adorable. She was good. She loved you. She wanted to be more than a friend, and I certainly have been in that position.
And what's amazing about this is that this was the first time, outside of the comic books, that anyone had ever saw Peter and Mary Jane get married. This was the first first time anyone ever saw that. And again, for a show to bring it to that and to like culminate that relationship, and even the wedding, there's a load of drama and things that happen. It was great to see, because we'd only seen it on pages before then. And you were talking about how this is the best iteration, and the animation is incredible. And especially in this episode, there's some really great animated sequences where you're as Harry, you're like running past the asylum window and you're chatting with the reflection of your dad as the Green Goblin. And I love that parallel as you're both running side by side and talking. I thought that was really clever, really well done. And things like that, little details that just make it that, you know, that special, where movies like the Tobey Maguire ones, etc., there were so many things in those movies that people, I think a lot of people know now, came from this show. You know, there's like the Tobey Maguire one, the whole love for Mary Jane between Peter Parker and Harry Osborn exists in those movies, you know, where Harry basically becomes the Green Goblin in those movies and wants to kill Peter because he took Mary Jane and because he's Spider-Man and killed his dad. That's all from this show. Every single one of those things came from this show. And it was like, I know, I mean, I've heard about Avi Arad and like all the things, you know, the ups and the downs that John had with him and such. But he clearly was just like, this is working. Let me take this to the movies now, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's the question about this episode, and I don't know the answer, and I'm sure all of the people who listen to your podcast probably have speculation about it. Is that the spirit of my father coming back as the Green Goblin? Is that a figment of Harry's imagination? What is it? And so I don't really have an answer for you. Go ahead.
Wow.
That's a really good question. I've asked this question before. Not to anyone that's worked on the show, just out loud with my brother when we're doing this show. And I wasn't too sure, but there is one sequence that happens where when Harry Osborn goes to see Alistair Smythe and he's just like talking to him about how he wants to use his robots and all of this stuff. He says to Smythe, I now know that like, the Kingpin is also Wilson Fisk. Mm-hmm. And Smythe's like, how do you know this? And he's like, well, I've got it from a third party who wishes to remain anonymous. Now, that tells me that that is actually Norman Osborn, because Norman Osborn knew that Kingpin and Wilson Fisk were the same person.
Good point. You're a good detective.
You know, and I was like, okay, so that was the only thing. And this is, I said at the beginning, I try not to get too nerdy on this show, but yeah, I mean, you open the door there for me on that one. I think, yeah.
That's a good point.
I think it might be him, but I really love the ambiguity and maybe it isn't. I do like that. Is he there or is Harry just absolutely bonkers like his dad? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have one more question.
I love that you have this show and it's been so successful for you, and it just building and building a fan base, and that's just wonderful.
Yeah, we have lots of listeners, and we are merely just pilots carrying the stuff that you guys did and talking about it, you know. So we're really happy to do that, and obviously, thank you so much to both of you for doing this show and for being such amazing voice talents and lending your voices to these characters who, in my mind, and all of our listeners and so many other people, are the definitive versions of these characters as well. So what are you guys up to? What are you guys doing now that you can talk about? Is there anywhere on social media you want to send people? Plug away, as they say.
Sarah, you go first.
Oh, well...
He learned from the beginning, Sarah. He learned.
If you're in Los Angeles and you have a 3 to 9-year-old, you may come to Theater West, which is an old established theater company I've been a part of since like 1978. We're doing a wonderful children's musical of Little Red Riding Hood, written by the fabulous Lloyd Schwartz, whose father, Sherwood Schwartz, created shows you may have heard of, Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch. So I'm doing that. I'm playing the mother of Little Red Riding Hood, and I enjoy it thoroughly. And other than that, I do get little parts on television and you know, other voiceover things, but not a cartoon. Not I haven't done a series like Spider-Man. And I audition for them, and then sometimes they'll go, oh, wasn't she Mary Jane? Well, our audience will never believe her as blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no way, typecast.
You know, I can talk like this. I studied in England. I went to Lambda, for God's sake. I can talk like other people. But nevertheless, I've sort of been quite
I've never heard you do an English accent until now, Sarah. That was really funny.
Yes. I don't know how good it is, but I did live there for a year, and I thought I would be a Shakespearean actress. They wrote me a Spider-Man episode where I could be, and I got to do some Shakespeare in the park.
That's right. They did do that. Yeah, that's true. They did.
So, you can listen for me and other things. But, yes, I'm opening tomorrow in Little Red Riding Hood, ladies and gentlemen.
Sarah, I have a question. There's not an actress in your show named Melody Fernandez, is there?
I don't No, there might be. That's fine. There's two casts. Yes, I haven't met her, but that's possible. I'll find out today. I'll ask.
Well, the reason I ask is because one of my students, I'm an acting teacher. I teach acting to actors, and then I also teach acting to musical artists because I started as a singer on Broadway. And
yeah, I knew that. What show did you do on Broadway, Gary?
Originally, I did Godspell. I also was supposed to be the original Charlie Brown in Snoopy, which was the sequel to Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. That's a very long story. We closed out of town, and eventually the show made it to Broadway. Anyway, I teach acting in Los Angeles. I teach acting to musical artists. Melody's one of my students. She's an opera singer who's trying to learn how to do musical theater now. And I'm trying to help her make the transition. She's very talented.
I'll see. I'll find out. She could be in
She's in some
cast.
Production of Red Riding Hood somewhere. That's why I thought, are there two in Los Angeles? Anyway.
Oh,
it's a very popular story, you know.
Yeah, it is. I know that.
I think it's catching on.
Don't know if you've ever heard of it, Gary, but yeah.
Yeah, I did. I've heard of it. I'll have to do some research. Anyway, I'm available on all social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, either as myself or Gary Imhoff's Artist Workshop. And I also have a website, GaryImhoff.net. So people can go and reach me through there. There's a contact on the website. I'm directing. Awesome. In 2023, I'll be directing a production of The Rainmaker, the original play.
Oh, wow.
And so there. I'm not acting much, teaching and directing. I've directed like 6 plays in Los Angeles and won 5 Best Director Awards. And all
hey,
that,
man, so. Clint Eastwood did the same thing, right?
Exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly.
I'll second that. I'm on all those platforms too, and I'm just making a website now because people have asked me to go to my website, and I'm like, I better make one. So I'm doing it.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah, thank you guys for sharing that. To our listeners, go check them out on their social medias and their websites to see what they're doing. And yeah, I can't thank you guys both enough for coming on the show. This was
thank you for having
pleasure.
Us. Bless Gary, it.
And
great
thanks,
to see you.
Yeah, thanks for making the Sarah Gary reunion here.
This is so nice. And you're just fabulous. You're a fabulous host. And congratulations on your future successes and all of your success.
Oh, that's really
Absolutely.
Sweet. Thank you to both
And give
you.
Our regards to your brother.
Yeah, I will. Who is he? I forgot who he is already.
I see.
yeah, thank you both for coming on.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
All right, we really do hope you enjoyed that interview. Again, Will, I'm sorry you couldn't be there, man. I tried, but they mentioned you a few times, and your absence was missed a little bit, just a little bit.
As long as I missed a tiny bit, then that's fine.
You know, I definitely missed you every now and then as well, because it's nice to bounce off and have another person there instead of me doing sole hosting. But I think I did a pretty good job. So
you did a wonderful job.
Thank you. So yeah, it was great talking to Sarah. It was great talking to Gary. Getting their thoughts on this episode as well. They had some memories, and Gary remembered like really getting into his goblin mode. He even said he really enjoyed watching this episode again. He gave himself a pat on the back. He's like, I think I did a pretty damn good job. All right. We appreciate you guys listening to that. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Gary and Sarah. Being that this podcast is already quite long, bud, I was thinking maybe we should make it a two-parter. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds good to me. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit down and listen to like a 3-hour podcast.
No, I mean,
30 minutes of this podcast is enough for me anyway.
Who wants to listen to us for 3 hours? So that's part one. Tune in next week, I guess. I don't know when. Sometimes I release them like a few days after. Whenever I feel like it. Yeah, exactly. Tune in soon.
We're very chill on this podcast. Yeah, we have. I'm sure our listeners love. Yeah.
Sometimes we're around a lot. Sometimes we're not around at all.
Sometimes we're week to week. Sometimes we're year to year. You never know.
You're goddamn right. So tune in next time for part two, where Will and I will review this episode as well as do our usual quiz game, our antics, our fun, talk about stuff that we're watching and reading, talk about Robin Hood way too much, and we'll see you guys then. So until next time, I've been Alex Robson.
I have been Will Robson.
And And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability. Goodbye, and see you in part two.
See you in part dos.